This is the Horse Radio Network.
Hey there. This is Lesson 13 of the Equine Clicker 101 podcast on the Horse Radio Network. Trailer Loading Part 1. Equine Clicker 101 is a podcast that takes you to the class to learn and practice clicker training for your horse. Please support our sponsors as they make this show possible.
With positive reinforcement, we teach our horses to be confident problem solvers. But if he's worried about his gut or struggling with inconsistent nutrition, you're really training uphill.
That's why we love that Triple Crown uses fixed formulas. After years in the show ring, I know consistency is everything, not just in the training schedule, but in the feed bag.
Triple Crown commits to using super premium, corn-free ingredients, which means they don't swap out components based on cost. What you feed today is what you'll feed next month.
And that amazing stability is backed by Equimix technology in every single feed. It's a powerful blend of prebiotics, probiotics, and organic minerals designed to optimize gut health and immunity.
Whether you need the safety of safe starch forage, or for a metabolic horse, or the performance boost of the grain feeds, Triple Crown gives you the foundation of health for a willing partner.
Choose Triple Crown Feed, where advanced nutrition meets reliable quality.
This is Shauna Karish. In today's episode, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to get started with trailer loading. This is, we're going to get the part where a lot of times this is the trickiest part is getting the horse to the trailer and in the trailer and building that trust. So that's what we're going to work through today.
Ready for a breakthrough in your training? Stop going it alone.
Our membership gives you access to the real-world application of positive reinforcement. You get all of our courses and video content,
plus the weekly unedited problem-solving videos and live Q&As with both Shauna and I. We show you exactly how the science works both on the ground and in the saddle.
Get the guidance you need to create your confident, willing partner. Head on over to join the membership at shaunakarish.com. You'll learn more about our amazing community, courses, Q&As, learning labs, and so much more.
Welcome to the classroom. All right. Today, what we're going to do, as I kind of mentioned earlier, we're really going to focus on getting the horse to the trailer. You know, it seems like where most people have the issues with trailer loading is they can't even get the horse near the trailer, you know, let alone close the divider, you know, or any of those pieces. So there, it really is trying to build a better association with the trailer in general. Now, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of pieces to trailer loading to look at. So we're going to break this into two episodes because it's too much for one episode. Frankly, I could probably do 5 episodes on trailer loading, but we're going to break it into 2 episodes. So this part is for that horse who either won't get near the trailer, doesn't like going in the trailer, gets stuck on the ramp, or sometimes even there's horses that'll do it, but they don't necessarily like it. So this, if we slow down and take these steps, it gives us a chance to build a better reinforcement history, meaning they look at the trailer and they think, oh, actually, I like the trailer. But the horse who doesn't like the trailer looks at it and says, I don't like the trailer. It's all about their association that they've built from their previous experiences. And remember, anything your horse does, basically everything besides reflexive behavior, is basically a choice. And they're going to choose a thing with the best reinforcement history. So they're going to either choose they're either going to choose to do the thing they like or avoid the thing, whichever one has worked for them the best. So a horse who really wants to avoid the trailer, that has worked or been more reinforcing than the horse who likes to go to the trailer. That horse finds a trailer reinforcing and good things have happened. So we're going to work on rebuilding a good association with the trailer in general. Now, one of the things I really like to do when we're doing this part, because it is, I want full honesty from my horses. And so I like to do this at Liberty. I'm going to tell you a little story. There was a place where I went and they had called me in to work with some horses and they needed to get the horses across country. So, well, halfway across the country. So they had 6 horses. And they were doing the clicker and the target. So they're using the positive reinforcement methods, but they're still asking them to load with the target. I mean, with the halter, I'm sorry. And so they said, these 2 horses are great. These two load great, but these four are showing some apprehension. So I said, okay. So I said, why don't we take the trailer was in the arena so we could have them at liberty. I said, why don't we take their halters and lead ropes off and do each of them individually at liberty? And so we said, okay. So as we got started, it turned out the two best ones were actually the two worst ones. So while they loaded willingly and they did it and they were compliant, they didn't like it. So given the choice, they would rather not do it. So we want to be able, so I want that information because with positive reinforcement, we have a way to rebuild a different association. And when they're at liberty like that, I can tell which part is the trouble spot. You know, is it the ramp or is it when we close a divider or is it when the trailer moves or is it, you know, so it gives me a lot more information. So everything I get from the horse, I really look at it all as information, even if it goes wrong. You know, I mean, what I don't think there is a going wrong. There is not making mistakes. It's all information. So if it works, if we're going along and then we get a result we weren't planning on, I just take that as information. Think, okay, I need to do something different in order to get closer to my me wanting to get a specific behavior. So really don't look at things as good and bad or right and wrong. Remember, it's all just information. So when those two horses chose not to get in the trailer, that was actually really valuable information to have. One of the horses that was traveling across country was 29 years old, and he was going to have to stop. He couldn't ship for very long. He didn't have the core strength for that. So, I mean, he wasn't in, you know, great. He wasn't physically fit, you know, and he had a very long back. And so we were going to have to stop. So on those stops, somewhere along the line, those two horses that really didn't like it but were doing it for obedience sake would probably have broken down somewhere. And if not, they wouldn't have loaded at one of the days on there. So as we took off the halter and lead ropes, that gave us the most information. And now we're being sure that the horse is choosing to do this. So I really encourage you to do that. If there's any way you can, get your trailer into a safe place. You can even take like that electric, you know, electric fence posts, those little portable posts, and put electric tape around it. You don't need to have it electric. Most horses know what the white tape is. And you can have them at liberty in that area. And so it gives you a way to work them around the back of the ramp where they have lots of choice, but it is they're free to kind of move within a certain distance. So if you can create something like that, you're going to make the most progress. The other thing that I find is really interesting, a lot of times when horses have a choice, they'll make the correct choice more often. So a horse that doesn't feel like he has a choice or trying to get it in the trailer and it has a halter and lead rope, it feels like it's going to be trapped. And a lot of times they'll be worried about it. But when they learn, you mean I can get out? Then a lot of times they're more apt to get in because they know they can get back out if they want. So they realize it's their choice and it's very empowering, but it also helps them. It helps us to get more information and give us a chance to build up the correct reinforcement history. So that's what we want to work for or work towards if you can. So if we want to see if you can't get your trailer to a place where it can work your horse at liberty. But I'm going to say sometimes it's not always the case that you can do that. So if you have to have a halter and lead rope on, you know, your trailer's in the back 40 and your horse isn't going to get anywhere near it, be sure not to use the halter and lead rope as pulling, but just as a limit. So that I say you have this much room. I get a nice long lead rope and say you have this much room to move around. I'm not going to pull you or make you do anything. I'm just going to say this is your room to move around. And that's another way to do it, but it still can be as choice as you can. But remember, sometimes that halter, like in the case of those two horses, it actually had more history than we knew. You know, it didn't look like it was something that caused them, you know, any conflict or stress. But once you took it off, they're like, oh, no. So it was really, it really kind of hid a lot of the information that we would like to have. So just keep that in mind. And of course, before you even get started doing any of these parts, it's best if you've done the clicker and the target and have taught a few of the fun behaviors like the stationary target or lifting your legs, some things that are choice that the horse has learned and become invested in this game and liking this game. Because again, if we take them right to something that's quite aversive right out of the bat, right out of the chute with the training, a lot of times we can kind of poison the training where they think, I don't really like to do the training because we always go to that trailer, which I hate. So I don't really want to do the training. So we want to make sure they like the game, they're onto the game, they have very strong reinforcement history with the trailer, and even the stationary target would actually be a great thing to do because I'm going to use it today. So if you haven't, then go back to those early episodes. Like it's like the first four lessons I think that we do are cover the some liberty leading because trailering is leading and it covers the clicker, it covers a target, some stationary target, the picking up their feet. So probably the four or five lessons in the beginning. So go back there, revisit those and get your horse on track with those things. If your horse is on track, we're going to continue forward. So I highly recommend that you go visit those a bit and build this part in. Because remember, this is bigger than just teaching them to do something. This is actually starting to change emotionally how they feel about the training. And it helps us through these sticky spots because they start to really enjoy the game, period. So we have some pieces that make it a little more, help them to make the right decision. Okay, so what we're kind of assuming now, and I will tell you too, I had my horse Bugs. And I think this is really important. We're going to do very short and sweet sessions. And I had my horse Bugs, and he really did not like the trailer. And if he was kind of coerced in any way, he actually could rear pretty quickly. So what we did with that, when I recognized this, I realized, okay, so you need to learn to be trailer loaded. And I want you to be able to do it at liberty. Well, our trailer was in the back 40 and he hated the trailer. So I had to do, like I said, have the halter and lead rope. We didn't have an arena that it was other people were using the arena. So, and it was full of jump. So it's not like I could take it in and just leave the trailer there for a few days. So I had to work him out in the back 40 where the trailers were parked. So I did use the halter and lead rope. And what was kind of fun is I actually had a GoPro on him and a GoPro camera on me so we could record each other with our live cameras, which I thought was really fun. But it turned out that what I did, I couldn't actually load him every single day. I couldn't even load him. I spread this time. It was 8 sessions total because I could go count now. I could count the minutes and I could count the amount of sessions. And it was spread out over months. Just other things were coming in and happening in my life at the time. And I couldn't do this as much as I liked. But it only took 40 minutes to go from, no, I don't want to lead. I'm not getting anywhere near the ramp till I will load at liberty in the middle of cross ties and horses being around. He would load up, hold. I would close the butt bar, go up to the front, feed him. Then I could come back around, unhook the butt bar. He would wait and I could go and do the he would just wait until I asked him to come back. It was only 40 minutes and 8 sessions. So the first session was about 10 minutes. Every session after that was like 3 to 5 minutes. And so it was interesting. I had no idea because I didn't pay that much attention. But to add it up, it was really interesting. But if I went for 40 minutes straight, I never would have had that kind of progress. But when I went and did it in these little tiny sessions, we had something called latent learning doing a lot of the work. So latent learning is basically it takes 12 to 24 hours for a new thought to form a permanent pathway. So when we teach give our horses a short session, we give them lots of positive reinforcement, and then we step away and let them process it. If we give them a little time, it actually gets stronger and better as we go. So really, I accredit the latent learning actually did most of the work for me. So letting them have time to sit on it is really a good thing. So don't feel like you need to get it all at any session, one session on anything. But I thought the trailer loading story was a great thing. And I actually included it in my trailer loading videos because I was just so tickled to see the piece and you could see all of his progress. So we're going to utilize this latent learning because I think it is a pretty important piece of the puzzle is letting it go a little bit. Okay. And you know where I first learned about that was sea lions. I was teaching a sea lion a backflip, and this is something that can take a year. It's very physically hard and takes a lot of skill to be developed on the sea lion's part. And I had a long weekend, and I'm the only one that would be working on this. This was my behavior and my sea lions to work with. And as I came back from my long weekend, my sea lion was better. And so I started asking everybody, did you work the backflip? Nobody did anything. And I thought, it's so weird because it's so much better than when I left. And then it happened again, you know, a couple months later, I was doing something and again, had a 3-day weekend and the behavior was way better. So nobody really had an answer for me. And I kind of kept researching until I discovered this latent learning and realized that there is a lot to letting us sit or sleep on it or process it. So utilize latent learning. Okay, so now let's get down to a little bit more of the brass tacks of trailer loading. So at this point in time, as I pointed out, your horse can look at the trailer and think, I hate the trailer. I don't want to go to the trailer. And a lot of times, if we've had trailer loading issues and have gone about it in traditional ways and still haven't had success, it's turned into, you know, this is not common to turn into a 45-minute, you know, struggle, you know, and it just turned into this big ordeal that was for them quite frightening. And remember, everything that our horses are afraid of, we have to kind of respect that it is their reality that this is fearful. So as much as we say it's just a trailer, it's not that big a deal. To them, it is very much a big deal. So we need to let them process and build it up in their time. So this is going to be something I want you to really be patient on through these early stages. So letting the horse make up their mind and make their decision is really important. And even if you have a horse who loads kind of, if you go to some techniques that are a little bit more old school and he will load, but it doesn't mean he likes it. It means he will load. And a lot of times this is a horse that won't get back on when going back home from the show or the clinic or whatever we've done. But it means that there really is still some concern there. When we take the halter and lead rope off, we're giving our horses a voice. And I'm going to tell you that sometimes they say, oh, no, thank you. If I have a choice, I don't want to do this. Don't be discouraged. We have tools to change that and turn that around and make it more solid than it's ever been ever. And in the process, we're not only going to be working on the trailer loading, we're going to be building trust about other parts of their lives too. So we're going to get more than just the trailer loading as a byproduct. And this is just part of the positive reinforcement. So let's think first about what we can do for the horse. Of course, we don't always have choices of what we can do for the trailer loading and making the trailer a good thing or a positive thing or a pleasant thing. But we can, if you do have a choice, try to make the trailer look as open, as bright as possible. So that can do a lot to make it more inviting. If you have a walkthrough trailer, that's better than anything. But if we want to work on making it as inviting and friendly and not feeling so dark and cavey. So if you can possibly do that, open the windows. Of course, you want to be safe. You don't want them running out the front door, put up a chest bar or something. So they, you know, so we're safe about these things. But when they're at liberty, really, when they have a choice, we really minimize their frantic kind of crazy decisions because they're like, I'll just back out and leave. So they can make sensible decisions. But still, horses being horses, you know, we have to be cautious. So whatever you can do to make it inviting. A lot of times I found that if we use shavings, if they're used to shavings, this is a smell that can be familiar and not smelling so rubbery and foreign like trailers can do. It also can brighten it up and give them better footing. So consider that as well. Now we also have the quandary of, is it a ramp or is it a step up? Which do we like? Which does the horse like? And so if you have a ramp and you can, or even a step up, if you can back it to a place where it minimizes the degree of the ramp or the step up for the early training stages, it can do a lot to help make it more inviting. One of the things I found early on when I did the first trailer loading, when I first started doing positive reinforcement with horses, I realized, wait a second, This actually isn't a loading problem because we're dealing with two horse trailers and straight loads. I realized this is actually an unloading problem. The horse isn't afraid of getting in. They're afraid of how to get out. You just see back feet like stabbing in the air. Like once they're in, then they lost their orientation and didn't know how to get out. So when we get our horses going in, we're going to take small steps to and teach them about getting a foot on the ramp or step up, a foot on the trailer, a foot off the trailer, a foot on the trailer, foot off the trailer, 2 feet on the trailer, 2 feet off the trailer, 2 feet on the trailer, 2 feet off the trailer. This helps them practice the backing up and getting some orientation and the skill of going on as well as the skill of going off. And then we'll go 3 feet on, then 3 feet off or 2 feet off. And then all 4 feet on and all 4 feet off. So we're going to build that up slowly so that they get confident in their backing out of the trailer. Even if you have a trailer like a slant load, sometimes some horses, especially bigger horses, it's not as easy for them to turn around. And so some horses are rather flexible and comfortable, and they'll just turn around and out they go, and that's no big deal. But for some horses, it is actually kind of scary to make such a maneuver in the trailer. So, or it's a side that they're not as flexible on. So I always think teaching them to back out is a really good skill, regardless of if we think we can turn them around or not. So that's going to be something that we're going to work on a bit in this early lesson if we can get our horses close enough to the trailer to get them in. And then what else can we do to make it? So as I said, yeah, back it up if you can find a little berm or somewhere that the slant is just slightly less steep, you know, so it's not a bigger step, whether it's a ramp or a step up. That can also be quite helpful. Okay, so I think we've covered those parts. We always want to keep safety in mind. We want to be as inviting and familiar as possible. And we also, if you can have the trailer in an arena, that's a great way to go. And frankly, some of the first parts we're going to work at, if a horse looks at the trailer and says, I hate the trailer and I don't want anything to do with the trailer predicts all these bad things that happen, then sometimes what I'll do is I won't take them up to the right in the back of the trailer. I'll walk around and do a circle where we get closer to the trailer. It's not necessarily what I do is I'm going to click and feed when they're closest to the trailer, but I'm not going to try to walk them straight into the open maul of the trailer, which may predict that's an old familiar scenario that they may by now, but maybe by now thinking, no, I don't like any of this. This looks like trouble that I remember. So instead, taking them for a walk that's a big circle, so they're approaching the side of the trailer and then they walk past the ramp. I will click and feed as I'm closest to the ramp so that they start realizing when I'm open that by that open mall, but they're not asking me to go in, good things happen. Now I'm starting to change. I'm starting to counterbalance their reinforcement history. So while there's a lot of weight on the side that says, I hate the trailer, I'm starting to put weight on the other side that says, actually, the trailer predicts good things. Good things happen when I'm near the trailer. The trailer is my friend. After some repetition of this, we actually can counter condition and eventually get into classic conditioning the trailer. So they see the trailer and they have endorphins and dopamines because they just think it's a great thing. So that's one of the tactics that we can use, and taking them up the side of the trailer. Sometimes I let them put their head in the door that's up, you know, the kind of the human door in the front, just so they can see it and smell it and kind of get a little familiar with it. You can reinforce them for that, but it doesn't look like a place where we're trying to get them in. This is, again, another way that we can build their reinforcement history. And it's a choice that they can make to get close to it that doesn't feel like an old, well-established aversive, we'll say. And one of the things I found, typically when I'm working with a green horse and I'm using the positive reinforcement, they get in pretty readily. And the next thing you know, you're like, stop loading in the trailer. And yet that will be your next problem, is getting them to stop instead of just loading right in. Or even I've seen people send me videos where they were working on it, then the horses were cantering into a four horse. And I'm like, okay, that's not very safe, but it was nice to see the eagerness of the horse seeing this as a bit of a game. Another technique that we can use, it is a great technique to get the horse near the trailer, but not necessarily on the trailer, is doing what we call A to B's, where you send from one person to the other person, and they can be going to the other person who just happens to be by the ramp. And this is a well-established skill they've done other places. And it's another way that they can kind of focus on going to the person, not worrying about that open trailer. And you can actually, if you're by yourself, you can do that also by using a stationary target. You can put like a handheld target in a traffic cone, and then it makes it quite mobile, and you can move it around to different places. You can even have several of them set up. So you can point them to one, point them to the other, point them to the other. As they're getting better, sometimes what I then do is start putting the traffic cone on the ramp. When that goes good, I might put the traffic cone just inside. So it means a foot is going to be on the ramp or 2 feet on the ramp. And then we kind of can build up from there. The other thing to keep in mind as we go is that backing away from the trailer, if the trailer by now is an unpleasant association, backing away and leaving the trailer is actually quite reinforcing. But let's put that at our discretion. So if you get a good approximation, click and feed, say that's great. And then you initiate the walking away. I don't feed as much away from the trailer. I save the food for going, the clicks and the feeds for going towards the trailer or on the trailer. So that is a really nice way to go, because it's, you're saying, yep, that's great. Now I will take you away. And what this does, remember we've talked about trigger stacking, where adrenaline piles on top of adrenaline, which piles on top of adrenaline. And pretty soon it is like watching a scary movie. And, you know, you're like, no, no, don't go in the house. And so your adrenaline's going up watching the scary movie. And then all of a sudden your phone rings. And the phone can ring all day long and you don't care. But at that moment with your adrenaline and you being on edge, you just fly through the roof. You're like, oh my gosh, the phone. Well, that's what trigger stacking is. So as our horses are going, oh, don't like the trailer, but I put a foot in the trailer. Uh-oh, I'm in the trailer. You say, great, you feed that and then walk away. This lets her adrenaline go back down, go off to a nice favorite, easy behavior somewhere, and reinforce them a little bit for the other parts, but more heavily on the trailer part. But you let that adrenaline go back down, and then you go back to doing the more challenging thing. And this helps to prevent some of that trigger stacking, and it keeps it reinforcing partly by saying, that's it, we're going to leave for a minute. And I'm going to tell you that same technique is really, really important for the horse who finds this aversive, for keeping them really short and sweet. And you say, see, that's all there is to it. And then they're like, that's all there is to it? I could do that again. And you want that kind of attitude. So we're going to try and shift their focus and their orientation. And like I said, the new horses don't tend to have the apprehension. They're like, I don't know what this is. And if we've built a reinforcement history with us in general and the training, pretty soon they start looking around thinking, new stuff is great. I love new stuff. New stuff, instead of being neophobic, where they say new stuff is terrifying, it's scary, they think new stuff is fun. New stuff is another opportunity for reinforcement. And this is really a great thing to be working on all the time, because this is what takes your horse to the clinic or the show. And as they see all the new stuff, instead of being overloaded, they're kind of like, wow, this is great. This is all kind of entertaining in a way, and opportunities for reinforcement. So those are all pieces you can work on. I'm going to tell you a couple other little things that you can do to build up to the trailer stage. One of the things that's been quite useful is getting a piece of plywood and teaching them. And a lot of times if you can staple some, put something on it that makes it so it's not slippery, whether you paint some abrasive tread or you stick tread on or you staple a mat to it. Anything to keep it so it's not slippery, because that's just going to add to the worry. But getting your horse to learn how to step onto this kind of odd sensation and sound underfoot a lot of times can mimic the sound and feel of the trailer ramp. So, or even the trailer itself. So it's kind of can feel like a little bit not quite the same as stepping on ground. It can feel a little bit more foreign, maybe even a touch unstable, not slippery, but, you know, stepping on a trailer, the trailer can rock a little bit. So that is also an excellent tool that you can use to help build up for the different parts. What I find is a lot of horses have different parts of trailer loading that are worrisome for them. You know, some it is the claustrophobic thing, the things overhead. It, you know, is a trailer short? For a big horse, a short trailer actually only kind of compounds their it's not as inviting and open. And if they do get panicky and they hit their head, now you've got kind of another element that you're going to have to deal with. So if you have a big horse, really try to find a roomy, a trailer that's 7'4" or taller is ideal. So some horses, it is the sensation of what they're stepping on. Some, it is a sensation of going into something that maybe is overhead. For some, it is going to be like when the dividers close. So there's different elements that can be part of what worries them about trailer loading. And then, frankly, we'll deal with this a little more. We'll talk more in the next part. It can be the moving, and it can also be landing at a new site. And now it's can be for a horse who is frightened by new places and overwhelmed by new situations, that unto itself can be the problem. And then the trailer becomes a predictor that says we're going to another place. So pretty soon they don't want to get into a trailer because they don't want to land in a place that makes them feel more insecure and uncertain about stuff. So there's a lot of different pieces that we want to kind of be paying attention to. And remember, we really want to be paying attention to their body language and keeping them under threshold. So does the eye look big and worried? Does the lip look square and tense? Is the head high? Are they rocking back on their haunches more than going forward? You know, are they stomping? Are their tail flicking? You know, there's a lot of things that you look for. And a lot of times the head and face and body give you a lot of information before the pulling back. You know, it just looks a little tense and a little bit more worried and a little bit more apprehensive, even if they are going forward. So pay attention to all those things and try to work slow enough that your horse stays under or just at threshold. Of course, we may be kind of challenging them just a little, but we want to be enough that they can process. It's not where they feel fight or flight and cortisol and worried. We want it just enough where they're like, okay, I can do this. Oh, I did this. This worked out great. So they can learn that kind of doing these things is, even if it's just a touch worrisome, that, wow, this worked out great. But remember, we don't move to the next step until they are relaxed and really confident and solid at the step we're at. So just because we got away with it, it doesn't mean they like it yet. It means that they tolerated it, but we want to make it look, we want to see them look like, I just don't care. This is no big deal. And then we'll move to the next step. So little tiny bits. Okay, so using that piece of plywood can help. Also, if you have any place where you can set up like a little straightaway, you know, if you can have even just cones that you set along a fence and ask your horse to go in those and back out of those, you know, so it could be in the corner of the fence. So he backs in, walks into that straightaway and then backs out of that straightaway, walks into that straightaway, backs out of that straightaway. You could put the board in there, walks into this kind of place that feels a little bit limiting. You could even put tape on those cones and so that they can walk in, walk out, and you kind of can be mimicking some of the pieces of the trailer, the sensation and the skill of backing in and out of an area that can help their confidence and the reinforcement history for that behavior. Anyway, so there's a whole lot of pieces there to think of, and I'm going to be working with a horse that will, I know, can kind of get in the trailer, but it's been a while and the trailer's in a new place. So now that we've shifted the context, we were probably going to lose some behavior and some criteria, and we haven't done it in a long time. So I'm going to see where we are with it and kind of be reworking it and trying to build it into a better place. Some of you people may have a harder situation. Your horse may be behind this horse, and some of you may have a better situation where your horse is loading up quicker, but we'll just see how that all goes. Okay, so now what I want you to do, I want you to get your horse ready, get the trailer ready, get your stuff ready. So get your side bucket, get your food, get your clicker, get your target. And also a thing I didn't mention, let me slow down a moment. The stationary target is an excellent tool to use. If you have trained the stationary target, I'm going to be working with a two-horse trailer today. But I don't care if you have a true horse or a slant load. So this is a straight load, so it's going to be straight on, straight off. But even if you have a slant load, using the stationary target, use the same stationary target that you used before. You can use the one in the cone and the target, but I will even mount the ones I mount in their stalls and their pastures and things, and put that in the trailer. So once we get close enough, I can point that out and bring a familiar piece to them that they know what to do with. And as we talked about in the targeting lesson, is a lot of times it becomes a bit of security blanket. So as they might feel a little bit uneasy, like, but I know what to do with that. And that represents good. So I'm going to be using a stationary target today too, if we can get to that point, but I'm definitely going to be using the kind of the mobile stationary targets, which is the handheld targets in the cone. Okay. So back to what I was saying, get your trailer ready, get it ideally to a place where you can walk your horse on and off easily and have them at liberty. And if you have a two horse, it's ideal if you can also open it up as much as possible so it feels as roomy as possible. Lesson two, we'll get to closing it down a little bit more. So I'm going to have the divider over so it makes it more inviting. So get it to a good place, get your horse, get your treats, your side buckets, your food, your fanny packs, whatever you're using, your targets, your clickers, and we're going to meet when you're ready. So I want you to turn this off, go get those pieces together, and I will meet you back here in just a minute.
Successful positive reinforcement trainers focus on basics. In both training and nutrition, the most effective approach is often the simplest. We wouldn't want to give our horses ingredients they don't need or can't utilize, right? That's the core philosophy behind Kiss Trace Equine Supplement. Keep it simple.
Many supplements contain ingredients that the horse's body struggles to absorb and that are inefficient. Kiss Trace is different because it uses only the highest quality trace minerals, sources scientifically proven for their superior bioavailability.
By focusing on giving horses what they can utilize efficiently, Kiss Trace supports their natural ability to maintain a healthy coat, sound hooves, and optimal performance without any binders or fillers. And that's really important. We love Kiss Trace because it works and it keeps it simple. Find them at thornybottomfarm.com. That's T-H-O-R-N-E, bottomfarm.com.
Okie dokie, here we go. Okay, so today I have Pito with me. And Pito hasn't been in, like I said, in the trailer in a while. And he's a big old thoroughbred who has lots of energy. So I have that kind of horse. So it's not, he's a big personality. So we're going to try to be building up his confidence through this process. I have the trailer in an outdoor arena. If you can take it to an indoor arena, more power to you. I would do that because now you have a lot less things for them to process. There's no horses running next door. There's no wind. There's no whatever those pieces might be. But I am in an outdoor arena, and I'm in Santa Fe in the spring. And Santa Fe in the spring has wind. So we're going to be working as much as we can to help keep him together a bit. Right now it's not super windy, but it can be at any moment in time. So again, remember, we have some different areas. Well, I have set up, this is actually our Liberty Arena. So horses come out here and can do some obstacles. They can do the reverse round pin. This is an area they're used to being at Liberty in here. So I have a lot of room for him to go away, which is, you know, a good or bad. It just is. But I also have in this arena up in the corner, as I mentioned earlier, I do have a square that goes up to the corner of the fence. And you know those traffic pylons? Good point. I'm going to clicking and feeding Pito because he's still right here with me. And yeah, I'm just talking and he's great. But this is really good because what Pito needs to do is be relaxed and calm and bring his energy down. So working this actually right now is not a bad thing to do. And what we're going to do, so that was great. So we're kind of just halfway between the front of the arena and the front of the trailer. And the trailer is not hooked up to a truck because it is stabilized. It's a big one and we have it stabilized so it won't teeter totter and tip. So of course you got to think of that part, but he's not at the back end of the trailer where it's worrisome. We're kind of up to the front. Up in the front here though, I have, you know, those traffic, they're not really traffic cones. They're the things that are straight up. They're like pylons almost with a big base. And we have little webbing that goes between them. So it creates a little bit of a chute. So I'm going to take him in here first. And I have a stationary target on the front fence ahead of us. So I'm going to go up here and remind him of doing that. So he gets the idea of this going to the target in this little chute area. Of course, this is all open. This isn't the same as a trailer, but it can mimic some components. Okay. Hey, Pito, can you target? Go ahead, target. Good. Click, and then I'm going to go up and feed him. Now, in this situation, a lot of times I have him come back to feed me. In this situation, I'm going to run up to feed him up there because I want him to learn the staying versus the backing out. Now, this exercise is something Pito has done before, so this isn't kind of a new concept for him, but I wanted to get him thinking about it. And at first when I asked him to go, he just stared off at other horses playing next door. Everybody, the horses next door, always love to watch these sessions. Okay, so we're going to try it again. That was great. And so now I've asked him to back out. Good boy. Okay, target. Good. And he marched right up. Click. Good. Went up. And I'm feeding him. So that was good. This was just a little bit to say, hey, Pito, are you with me? Are you agreeable? Are you working with me? Are you choosing to be focused on me right now? Because sometimes in Liberty Paddock, it's not the easiest thing. And they go, no, I'm playing. So that was great. So I feel like I have a horse who is saying, yes, I'm ready to work with you. And so we're starting our session properly. So now what I'm doing, I'm taking him up. I have a handheld target in my hand. And I've also, so I have lots of handheld targets everywhere because I have the ones in the cones. I have one on each side of the open door, and I am working with a 2-horse straight load. So probably they're like 15 feet from the open door, and I have one at the base of the ramp. So I'm just going to walk him around here. And so far he's going pretty good. We're walking, we're kind of by the wheel well. I'm clicking and feeding right now because what I like is that he is walking calm without any inkling of being concerned right now. So we're not going to the back of the trailer. He's not seeing the open back. He's just walking along the side towards, we're going to have to make a turn, you know, because we're walking from the truck part to the back. So that was great. So I clicked and fed him for that because he's nice and relaxed. If right now you have a horse who looks, he's high-headed, I want you to take circles. If I felt like my horse was high-headed, if Pito was doing that, I would just kind of keep walking circle and a figure eight on the side until I felt like I had him back to a nice, relaxed place. But I do have him in a place, so I'm a good place. So I'm going to continue along to the back. And now I'm going to point him to that target ahead of us. Target. Good. And then I click, and I'm going to run over there and feed him. And running up to your horse is another thing you have to be sure he's good at before you go running up to do that, because you could terrify him. But he is. He knows this. He knows he has this crazy lady. And so that was really good. So what it did here, it was kind of like I said, I have their two mobile handheld targets or stationary targets. They're flanking the doors. They're off about 15 feet off of the ramp. So what it did, it brought him up close enough to actually now see in the trailer, but only from a side eye, you know. So now he can see the open trailer, this nice inviting open trailer, but we're just doing an exercise we do all the time. So he gets to kind of have a look at it, and this probably changed how he's, you know, he probably focused a little differently, but he went up and you could see him kind of look in and then go right to the trailer. So that was nice. Now I'm going to walk him past this first cone, and I'm making a big wide, I'm going probably 20 feet back from the trailer, and I'm making a big turn, and I'm going to send him to the other target on the other door. So now we're walking kind of past the open door, but he's off the other flanked stationary or mobile stationary target. Isn't that just like an oxymoron? So he goes over there. Okay. Hey, Pito, target. Okay. He wandered off a little bit. Pito, come here. Pito, come here. So I gave him a hand target. And when I say his name and present my open hand, I've taught him to come to that. So he's here, and I click and I feed him. That's good. okay, I'm going to line him back up. So we're heading in the direction of the target to help set him up for success. I'm going to take a step or two in that direction and say, go. Okay. And so now he went over to target, click, and I'm running over to feed him. So that's good. So that's nice. Okay. Now what I'm doing, he's for a minute. So let's slow down. Sometimes I, when I'm talking and doing it, I want to go faster. And I got to remember to pay attention to him and what he's telling me, because he's giving me all the information I need. Is he comfortable with this, or is he high-headed? If he's high-headed, I'm going to continue to walk around and just do the side ones for a little bit until I feel like he relaxes. If I had that horse today, I would probably do a few of those and end there. But I know that pedo's a little bit past there. So if your horse is still worried, don't be trying to get too closer to the trailer yet. Just, and maybe you need to move those targets out further. So take them further away so the adrenaline can go back down, and then make a big figure eight that comes back and closer and farther away. But Pito's in a good place. So I'm going to go make, I'm going to walk towards the back of the trailer now. So I'm doing a big wide kind of 25 feet back or so. Good. Now we're walking towards the trailer. I clicked right there and fed. And what I like there, we're not even to the target, because remember, I have a target right in the center of the base of the ramp. So he is not, I'm not even saying get on the trailer. The target's outside the trailer. But what I liked is he was walking up with me nice and calm and normal. So remember, what do we want to see more of? We want to see, good boy. I'm giving him another handful. I want to see more of the walking nicely. So if he starts backing and slowing, that's not ideally where I'm going to bridge and reinforce. I may turn away and come back again. So I'm clicking as he was, I clicked far enough back that I knew he would still be walking nicely with me. He wasn't concerned at all. So I clicked the walking, because what do I want to see more of? I want to see walking. I don't want to see him stopping at the trailer, or stopping on the ramp, or stopping as we walk in the trailer. I want to see him walking. So I'm going to click walking, because this is the most important part, is this flowing to the trailer. So I clicked and I fed that quite well. I'm going to circle around again, and we're going to do that again. So here we go. And now I'm going to keep walking, and this time I'm going to ask him to touch that target. Good. Okay, pedo target. Okay, click. Good. Very good. Now, he took a moment, so I'm running up to feed him, because that is what I want to see. And I want to meet him up there. I don't want him to keep thinking go away unless I'm asking him to go away. And if at this stage he wants to back away really readily, I know that he's showing me he's not quite as comfortable up there. But he's waiting right there for me. I did see, though, as we walked up, he took a big bright look in the trailer, and then he touched the target. But to me, for him, I didn't feel like it looked like, you know, there's a difference between the big nervous look in the trailer, like, uh-oh, what is that? And just kind of a, what is that? And I felt like it was a more relaxed, and he went very relaxed to the target and let go of kind of being worried about the trailer. So that was great. So this time what I'm going to do, so again, if your horse is not looking relaxed yet, repeat this exercise a few times. You know, if he still looks in a little bit like, whoa, you can repeat it and you can leave it here. And this is a great place to go. I know Pito is a little further along than a lot of the horses I've started with. So I'm kind of moved. I know that we're going to get a little further than a lot of you probably will today, but that's okay. That's, we're not comparing, you know, one to the other. That doesn't matter. It's every individual. Okay. So he's great. We're going to walk. So what I'm doing, actually, I'm going to move the target up. I'm going to put it a foot into the trailer. So now in order for him to touch it, he's going to have to put a foot on the ramp. Well, he's pretty tall. He might not have to, but I'm going to look for a foot moving as we get there. So we're going to make a big circle again. So now we're going to walk not far, not as far as we were going, but I am walking probably 15 feet back. And then we're going up to towards the ramp, and I'm going right to the base of the ramp with him, and then I'm going to point target. Good. Okay. It took him a minute. So I clicked and fed there. So I'm feeding him again. So let me give him a couple handfuls. Good boy. And remember, this is where we really want to be, that counter or classic conditioning. So what I got there from him is he first reached with his neck, and then, which, okay, technically we could take that. I got a little bit of what I call greedy trainer syndrome. I probably should have just taken that and fed him and be done with it. But what he did, he then moved, he didn't move a front foot, but he moved a back foot closer. So I clicked the moving of that back foot. Because really, this isn't about touching the target as much as it is the feet moving to the target. Because the target is there to create behavior, which is moving, all feet moving towards and on the trailer. So I drew attention to that back foot coming up. So Pito knows the click. So when I click that, he remembers, what did I just do that got me rewarded? It doesn't mean it's strong enough to overpower a worry, but it is the start. So we're going to do that again. I'm going to take him off in the other direction. Just so we're coming at it straight still, but I'm just peeling off in the other direction. And we're going to walk back about 10 feet again. And then we're going to make that nice straight walk. And like, while I like to do it straight is so I help prevent any stepping off the edge of the ramp, or I just want him to think straight in. And so we're going to go up and target. Excellent. And that time he put his 2 feet on the front, on the ramp. And that is going to be perfect for me today. That's where I want to leave it today. So I'm going to give him feeding him a few handfuls right here. And even, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a couple handfuls on the ramp. So I'm laying a couple handfuls on the ramp so he can sit and kind of nosh for a moment. And what is really nice about this is he, if he's relaxed enough, he's going to let go of worrying about the trailer and just be eating right here by the trailer in kind of a mindset of grazy, as opposed to, because grazing is relaxed. So that's my hope, that he's in that mindset. But I want to leave it here. So I think that's great. So remember, we might not all be at the same places, but we do want to end at a good place. So take it back to wherever it is that you feel like you can end at a good place. Find something worthy and something good and give them a lot for that. And say, this is great. If this is where we are today, this is where we are today. And then we're going to, when you're ready, and Pito's about ready, he's still kind of chewing. But when you found a good place to end, what I want you to do is to go ahead and close the stuff down and get ready. So we will, I want you to go ahead and turn off your podcast and get your horse, put him away, get him in a safe place, get your trailer back to a safe place. If you need to move it, then take the time to move it. But, you know, if you want to close it up, whatever it is you want to do, get those pieces together. And I will meet you back in a few minutes.
Stop worrying about what you're feeding in your training sessions. Give your horse a treat that's genuinely good for them. Grazer's NutriTreats are the forage-based solution that makes healthy training simple.
They are the ultimate high-value reinforcer, yet they're safe for your horse. No added sugar, and they're even safe for metabolic horses. Each treat includes beneficial electrolytes and probiotics to support his gut and maintain balance.
Training should be fun and focused. We love Grazer's treats for their non-crumbly, non-sticky, pocket-friendly design. You'll love them too. And yes, we do use them in our sessions, and our horses love them. See the difference in your horse's focus and health without the worry. Order your 5-pound bag today at equinebalancesupport.com. That's balanced with an E-D. Equinebalancesupport.com.
Okay, now, our homework assignment, of course, is what we want to practice for the next couple weeks. And because we're doing part one and part two, it's really important that you pay attention to the homework. So, of course, you can do this separate. If you're not in a good place in a couple weeks, you could do it later. But we're going to kind of give you some exercises to work on and look for, and the things to do, because this is to help strengthen the behavior. And repetition is really, these are simple exercises, but it really is the repetition that's going to build the best part of it. So, and one of the things we also want to do is be sure that we are comfortable feeding doing lots of sessions and feeding lots of things. Okie dokie. Now, so we have probably all ended at different places with this exercise. So our homework's going to be a little bit different. So Pito is, like I said, he is one who has done this. He has not done it to the point of moving the trailer, so he's not 100% solid, and it's been a while, but he still has trepidation, you know, so I still have a bit to work through there. I really work to try to look at where he is. Where is he emotionally? Is he under threshold? Is he managing this? Is he okay? And, you know, one of the ways he can tell me if he's not managing it, one, running off. And so that can happen where he's like, oh, but no. The other thing that sometimes they do is they may go to an easier exercise. Like sometimes they'll be like, well, I don't want to touch that target that's close to the ramp. I want to touch the target that's over there that's further. Can I do that? So it's a way that he's saying this is too much or this is harder, but I still want to do it. So move your target back a little bit. The one that's close to the ramp, you can move it, you know, a few feet away until he gets kind of close to doing it. So just because you didn't end where Pito and I ended, or maybe you ended a little better than us, but I would say that that's not a bad thing. It's just all information for us to figure out what to do next. So remember to pay attention to those things. Keep them relaxed. The more that we can keep them relaxed in doing this, I know this can seem like slow and a lot of repetition, but believe me, between the latent learning and the classic conditioning, we're really going to change their minds. And I always say, slow down, you'll go faster. And this is a really important element of this because it really is one of the things to take the time and build the right mindset behind it. It will just come back tenfold in your reinforcement for you later on down the road. Okay, so what I want you to do is when things are going good and you feel like we're below threshold, move that that cone in a little bit further and a little bit further until they're getting more feet and more feet on the ramp. Remember, click not for the touching the target necessarily, because the touching the target's important too, but it really is the feet moving that is more important than the touching the target. So sometimes if the target is in a simple place, what can be happening? We can actually be touching the stop or be bridging or clicking on the stopping versus the going. So look for the adjustments of approaching and reaching towards and trying to get to the target, because that's the most important part, is the pursuing the target. So it could be that you take some where just their head and neck has touched the target. You're like, yep, I get it. You're trying beyond your comfort zone a little bit. So maybe I need to slow it down so feet can move a little bit, but you're also still working on classically conditioning that the trailer and the presence of the trailer, being on the trailer. And then remember to take a lot of breaks in between. Keep these sessions really short and sweet, but you be the one to initiate the going away and give them a little break. Remember, not a lot of food back there, but more food up close and more food as we're on or closer. Now, as we've worked on that stationary target, you may get to the point where you can go and send them up to the stationary target. But I'm really kind of thinking we're going to save that and maybe closing the door a bit for next time. But this is, you're kind of in between both things. So if you can have them go up and touch the stationary target, that would be a great skill to be getting worked out. But if your horse doesn't get there, that's okay. And hopefully what you do is get your horse where you can get that, the mobile stationary target, the target in the cone, get it up further and further and further so that they can go up and go all the way up to touching the cone in the front of the trailer. And you can be up in the front of the trailer. And as much as possible, reinforce there. If you have a manger, or if you can bring one of those rubber feed tubs that you can get at Jeffers, you can set one of those up there and you can just give them a bunch of food up there and say, look, you gave me a little, I give you a lot. That's all there is to it. Now let's go back. Now, pretty quick, you'll find that they start going, if you've kept them short enough and super reinforcing, pretty soon they're like, I want to go to the target. In this trailer, because it's super easy and super reinforcing. So that's kind of our goal, is to change that mindset. So ideally you're getting them up to and into following that, the cone target, all the way up to the front of the trailer with it open. We'll kind of shift that next time to being able to point them in. But for now, I wouldn't really worry about that too much. If you do have a stationary target also mounted up there, you could start to point that out and see if they can recognize it and go to it. So they go from one cone to the other cone. So now we can have them start looking at the stationary target, going to the cone target, and that's all kind of going with you. Next time, we're going to work a little bit more about being able to send them in and staying a little bit. And then about the, then also being the closing the dividers a little bit, starting that process and where we go from there. Also, if it, in this trailer I have, it has a door that I can step out of. So it has a human door on the other side of the chest bar. So I can get them up there. And there's a manger hanging in the trailer, which makes it quite easy because I can feed. And then I can step out the door while they're eating a lot of the food. So it's a way that I can approximate me walking away a little bit. So I'm just going to step down and step back up and give more food and step down, step back up, give more food. I'm going to give them enough food that they're still eating in between. It's not that they're going to run out of food in between, but I want them to think, okay, the human left, but the human comes back in and gives me more food. I want them to also almost station up there. If you can get to that point, that would be an amazing part. And that's where we want to get to really before we proceed to the next part. So really work till you can get to that point. And I know that I can get there pretty simply with Pito. I just didn't want to push it today. I just felt like I want to end this where all is good. I don't even want to push beyond where it can do it. I don't want to get greedy trainer syndrome where I go, oops, I should have left it there. I want to leave it there and say, thank you. That was perfect. And make it really keeping it below threshold and keeping that adrenaline down. So that's what I would like you to work on for the next couple weeks. And like I said, if you got to come back later, if you need to spend a month doing it, you spend whatever it is. If you can do 2 sessions a day, that would be fantastic because they're so short and sweet. It's not like they're long intensive sessions. You're going, we're going to spend 5 minutes up there. And that's a great thing. So if you can keep your sessions and do twice a day, that would be fantastic. If you live by your horses and you can do 3 times a day, that's even better, but spread them out a little bit for the 3 sessions a day. And if you miss a day or a day or two, don't worry about it. Latent learning will be taking toll. It'll be working and doing its job behind the scenes. And frankly, if your horse is really kind of feels aversive about the trailer, I would probably give more breaks where, you know, one session is doing the trailer loading with loads of food. And then we might go do some other thing that's a little funner and easier. So it's not all stress and letting it go a little bit in between, but make it super reinforcing. So don't be stingy on that. So I want you, slower is better than pushing too fast. So it may seem like it's just repetition, but that's okay. Trust me, it'll be better to do it that way. But I want you to be the one initiating going off. And if sometimes they go off on their own, like you're up here and you're saying, I'm right up here with the target, because you can go right behind the target too. If they back off, sometimes I just wait there and say, okay, you can back off if you want to, but I'm going to be right here. And so as long as you feel like it's low enough that they can make that choice to come back. And I say, well, when you're here's when you get reinforced, and then try to build up that repetition, and then you be the one to initiate the backing off if you can. Okay, so there's a lot of pieces. So there you go. And I know you guys are all going to do great. You just remember your horse gives you the information you need. Go at his pace, keep him comfortable, and keep looking, clicking on those feet, moving forward as much as you can. Okay, there you go. So now that we've got that all worked out, I want you to work on that part, and I'll be working with Pito too.
The conversation doesn't end here. Every horse deserves a happy, confident partnership, and we want to help you build that.
If you're the kind of person who is truly dedicated to making that happen, you'll want to join us in our community and watch your relationship with your horse become what you have always hoped it could be.
Head on over to our website to explore Shauna Karish Equine membership. You get immediate access to all of our courses, live coaching, uncut problem-solving videos, and the ever-so-helpful Learning Lab study groups.
The fastest way to level up your training is to join us. So find everything at shaunakarish.com today.
So he's ready for the next lesson. And of course, if you want to learn more about me, you can go to www.on-target-training.com. So there you go. That's it. Until next time, enjoy getting your horse on target. Bye.